Hello and welcome to the second installment of my wrestling discussion podcast. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Raw after SummerSlam, the August 21st, 2017 episode of Raw. And basically how this is going to go down, we are going to go through each individual segment. I've taken notes, I've labeled individual things, whether it be important events that happened, or matches. They're listed individually. We're going to go through each one multiple at once, and we're just going to talk about my thoughts on it, what happened, how I've... depending on what it is, maybe how I think it could have gone better, and the such, you know, just general discussion. We're not going to get into too much detail, and we're not going to spend 30 minutes talking about one particular match and nothing like that. We're just going to talk about what happened, my thoughts on it, and what could be done better, if applicable. But there, on this particular episode, I really enjoy a lot of it. So there isn't much that could be done better, but there are some points where I just kind of, wrestling, it gets me into a mindset where it's irritating at some times, but I get it, I understand what's going on, and anyways, let's go ahead and get on with the program. Now, to start off the episode, we have Brock and Paul Heyman come out and they talk about their Universal Championship win at SummerSlam the night before. And oh my gosh, this segment at the very beginning... there were so many emotions, and right off the bat, like, crowd was chanting Suplex City, and it just from the start, I knew it was going to be a good segment because it's Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Of course it's going to be something good. Somebody's gonna come out, and somebody did come out, but we'll get to that in just a bit. And basically what happened is Paul Heyman comes out, he confirms his thoughts of the conspiracy towards Brock Lesnar at how the commissioner was going to the general manager was conspiring to get the belt off of Brock Lesnar and all of that stuff, and that everybody in the match was going to gang up on Lesnar and take him out, so that way there was going to be a new champion. But obviously, Brock still came back and defended his championship. And while Paul Heyman is talking about all of this, Braun Strowman, his music hits. He comes out and he goes to confront Brock Lesnar, doesn't really say anything, gets into the ring, and he tries to chokeslam Lesnar, which then Brock gets away and he tries to counter, which that didn't work, and Brock delivered two running power slams to Lesnar to kind of recap what happened to him at SummerSlam, where he used power slams to put him through two tables, and it just sets up for such a good match that's going to be coming at No Mercy. Later on in the evening, they announced that it would be Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman at No Mercy for the Universal Championship, and I cannot be any more excited for this championship. Even though it is Brock Lesnar, he is part-time. There's something to look forward to because Brock always manages to slip away with the title. And hopefully, hopefully we can see, like, we saw a little bit of Braun Strowman finally with his big fucking stature. He's going to be able to tame the beast and get the championship. And I, for one, really want to see Braun Strowman with the championship, because that would be a whole new level of booking with a guy that big and his character the way he is. Just the things that people who want the championship, the things they will have to do to get it off of Braun Strowman's waist, will be... It will set up for some really, really good matches if they know what they are doing over there in creative, because, I mean, they can be iffy at times. And it's okay, I get it, we're all human. But this, you cannot mess this up. You cannot give Braun the belt and not have good matches. Like, just the Brock Lesnar Braun Strowman match is going to be a different kind of ride, for that matter. But as we move on, and after Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman, we have the, what is it, fourth month in a row now? Yeah, fourth week in a row. It's like fourth or fifth week in a row. Big Cass versus Enzo Amore. Earlier yesterday, before Raw was going to take place, Enzo Amore on Instagram calls out Big Cass to a Brooklyn street fight. And the first match of the night is exactly that. We have Enzo and Big Cass in a Brooklyn street fight. And Enzo talks to Big Cass. Well, first, Enzo comes out, you know, standard entrance, after Big Cass with his kind of weird entrance. I don't know. It doesn't feel right. Big Cass and Enzo need to be a team again, but we'll get back to that later. Anyway, Big Cass is in the ring. Enzo comes out, starts talking to Big Cass, getting kind of, I won't say emotional, but he gets, like, into the fucking feels. And he talks about how he broke a brotherly bond that they had for 15 years. And he just doesn't get it. Then he walks off, quote-unquote, looking like he's not gonna fight. And then Enzo, he brings out the shopping cart just full of weapons, kendo stick, crutches, a bunch of chairs, and the shopping cart. And Big Cass gets out of the ring, proceeds to come up to the ramp. Come up the ramp at that time. The bell rings, matches on. And basically, he just proceeds to use Enzo's weapons against him. He hits him with the shopping cart. He doesn't actually really use his weapons against him, but he does hit Enzo with the shopping cart, and it looks like, you know, it's just going to be another squash. Big Cass, you know, he's just going to completely demolish Enzo, is what it looks like. And they get back to the ring, and a couple of little small moments, it looks like Enzo might have a teeny, teeny chance to win against Big Cass. And then a little debacle happens. Enzo goes and is standing on the apron. Big Cass is probably gonna do something to hit him, put Enzo on the ground. Enzo pulls the top rope down. Cass goes over, lands on his leg really funky. His knee bends in a way that it shouldn't. And, well, that was the end of the match. Enzo won because, well, Big Cass couldn't continue the match. Even though he tries to continue, just got to the point to where Enzo, whether it was kayfabe or not, and not Enzo, big cast, whether it was kayfabe or not, he just could not stand up. Like, he tried to deliver an Empire Elbow and just kind of collapsed before he could do it. And, yeah, Enzo finally wins his first match against Big Cass, albeit not really legitimate, because he didn't pin or submit him, but a win's a win. It's about time that Enzo finally wins against Big Cass in a 1v1, instead of him getting completely squashed. And I have to say, I'm pleased. It's been a little bit of a ride, even though I wish they would find some way to turn Enzo heel and make them a team again, but I don't think it's going to be able to happen. I don't see it happening. But hey, we never know. Anything can happen in the WWE. How many times have you heard that, right? Okay, and next match. And here we're going to do two matches at once, because these next two matches in the thing were just kind of fill-ins. Fill up some time. So they were relatively short, but I still have a couple of opinions on them. First up, after Big Cass and Enzo, we have Emma versus Nia Jax. And this starts off backstage. Emma is backstage talking about how she got screwed over in her triple threat match before SummerSlam, where there was the opportunity to fight for the Raw Women's Championship. And she was just talking about how she got screwed over, and that if she wouldn't have gotten screwed over, she would be wearing the championship belt. You know, standard things that you would hear said. And Nia Jax comes up and confronts Emma about their match that they're about to have literally right after this backstage segment. And, you know, they both come out. The match starts. Emma, she tries to use her flurries of attack. She gets a couple off. Nia pushes her down. She gets a couple more off. And then Nia just proceeds to walk right on over her. Squashes her easily. Which is kind of sad, because I personally think that Emma has a lot of good potential. And it just doesn't feel right to me when they bring somebody in or bring someone back and they book them to lose all the time. It just doesn't make any sense to me. How are you supposed to bring somebody in and help them grow if they're losing all the time and not getting any support from the crowd? I mean, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But I mean, I get it. You kind of have to climb your way back up to the top type thing, but I don't like it. I hate it when they do that. But I understand why they do that. It is what it is. We just kind of have to move on from it. I hope to see more of Emma in the future, honestly. Like, I want to see her winning some matches by herself and doing something worthwhile. But anyway, after that, we have Elias Samson versus R-Truth. Every time Elias has a match, his standard little thing where he comes out, he's in the ring with his guitar. "Hello, I'm Elias Samson," blah, blah, blah. Sings a song that's trash in the place he's at. This time, he didn't trash the place he was at, actually. He was trashing his opponent, who, thank God, it was R-Truth. It's been so long since we've seen him in the ring doing something, aside from the last draw. He was in the ring, but they didn't really have a match. R-Truth, it's great to see him in a match again. It's also a really good thing. Match starts. R-Truth actually shows a lot of energy for not being in the ring for a long time, doing a match. And he shows like a lot of fight in him, but sadly he gets squashed easily by Elias. I kind of expected it to happen. I just, once again, I hate seeing people who are coming back or just getting in lose everything or get squashed so easily. It doesn't look good for them. And how are they supposed to grow if they continue to receive that kind of treatment? It is what it is. It's whatever. And here we go. After two relatively non-important matches, we have Kurt Angle. He has a surprise announcement. And he comes out. And it's the same old thing. You know, you suck. You suck. Same old thing. Gets onto the mic and he announces his big surprise. John Cena comes on to Raw. And big whoop. John Cena. Super duper Cena. Okay, I mean, fair enough. Free agent. They're going to make him. They're going to have that re-emphasized over and over again that he's a free agent. He can fight anyone he wants to. John Cena comes on, talks about, yeah, I've wanted to be on Raw for the longest time, and blah, blah, blah. To go against, drumroll, Roman Reigns. Yes. 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 Bury Roman Reigns, please. I will get behind you for one match as your since you're a face character. I will get behind you for one match, John Cena. If you just bury Roman Reigns, help him become a heel for once, for a freaking change, make Roman heel. And Roman comes out, claims that Raw is his yard, and asks Cena if he's gonna actually talk trash to his face, blah, blah, blah. While this is happening, you hear chants, Undertaker, not gonna happen, sadly. Cena says, you know, hey, I didn't come to talk trash, and prepares to, you know, get ready to fight. I was hype. I was ready to see Cena squash. I hate seeing Cena squash people, but Roman Reigns is one person that needs to be squashed like a bug under a shoe. And right before that match takes place, The Miz comes out. Miz comes out and he starts to talk, saying, you know, hey, you guys get all these moments and don't do anything to get these moments. They always get these moments every single time. And he calls them out for having ridiculous moments all the time, and like the crowd is cheering, like they're agreeing, please stop putting Cena and Roman in our fucking throats, please, we don't want them anymore. They had their chance years ago, okay? And like, it seems like this was a scripted, almost pipe bomb promo for that matter. Now, it wasn't a pipe bomb, but it really kind of felt like it was going to start leading to that. Like, The Miz was like, for crying out loud, I'm the one that busts my butt off in this company, and I don't get crap except for Intercontinental Championship. And, like, the crowd was chanting and was behind Miz, a heel, like they were cheering for the heel, and that was kind of surprising, I'm not even gonna lie. And so John Cena, he wants to help Miz, he wants to give him his moment by making a tag team with Miz and the Miztourage, or somebody from the Miztourage, versus Cena and Roman Reigns. Makes me sad, blah, blah, blah. Samoa Joe comes out, interrupts, says that if anybody's going to be the Miz's partner, it's going to be me, blah, blah, blah. They make a match, and fight breaks out. blah, blah, blah. Cena and Reigns are standing after tossing both The Miz and Samoa Joe. They're standing in the ring, and chants of "you both suck" ring out. Why? Because we wanted to see Cena against Roman to make him heel. But didn't happen. Oh well. Cena and Reigns versus Joe and Miz later on in the evening. And then after all of that debacle with Kurt Angle, his surprise thing, Cena, Reigns, Miz, Sloppy Joe, we have a cruiserweight match, like always, on Raw. And it's an 8-man tag. Haven't seen an 8-man in a while. But, I mean, I'm not going to say much about it, because for the life of me, I cannot remember every single one of their names. I can remember the main roster. I can't remember the cruiserweight. Please don't hate me. But I do love seeing the potential what the cruiserweight division has. I think 205 Live is very underrated. They just need better booking. That's all. And just like, the one thing I will point out is the lumbar check. That move always looks so good and so smooth when I see it. It's fantastic. It's executed so well to me. Like, it's visually pleasing. About as visually pleasing as a lumbar check can be. But, good cruiserweight match. Kind of the faces. There was a team with Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, I think Mustafa Ali, and another person. That team won. Kind of expecting it, because Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann, they're kind of up there. Love to see more. Never disappointed with cruiserweight matches. And then, after which, cuts backstage, Renee Young bringing out Neville. Neville talks about winning back the championship. Boo. Can we please not have him as champion? I'm so tired of seeing him as champion. Akira Tozawa comes. Akira and Titus O'Neil, they come out. Well, not really out, but to Neville, say they are getting their rematch on 205 Live. That's going to take place on 205 Live. It's a rematch for the Cruiserweight Championship. Please, Akira, please book him to win. I hope that they book him to win. And can I just stop here and say that the commercials for that WWE does with other brands are so good and so corny. But that's okay, because they're good, and I love them to death. They make me giggle every time, because they're ridiculous, and that's what makes them good. It's like Brizongo. That's ridiculous, but it's great. It's hilarious. And then, after the rematch was issued for the Cruiserweight Championship, we got Jason Jordan. He's talking about talking to Kurt Angle, says, you know, he doesn't want any special treatment or anything, and he calls out Finn Balor to a match. He wants to fight Finn Balor. Okay, Jason Jordan versus Finn Balor, and it's a match later on in the evening. Wow, I never thought that this early we would see Jason Jordan go up against somebody like Finn Balor, for crying out loud. The first undisputed Universal Champion versus Jason Jordan. Like, wow. Oh my god. I'm excited. But that's not the next match that happens later on in the evening. And here we go. A segment I've been waiting for ever since they won at SummerSlam. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose come out and they talk about their championship win. They come out. Dean says something weird. And Seth Rollins says, I'll forgive you. I'll pretend it never happened. I don't even really remember what it was. Kind of frightening, though, because, you know, now that they're tag team champions, you don't want to see them fight again. You want to see them be a team. I know I do. Oh my gosh, they're so good together. It's fantastic. And in amongst all of this, they say that they're going to throw a championship celebration party, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's invited. He said, yes, we get it. Don't worry, we know that Cesaro and Sheamus, they're going to declare a rematch whenever they will, and they just say that they will take anyone, anywhere, anytime. And who comes out? The Hardys. Wow. I never thought I would see the day where the Hardys and 2/3 of the Shield would fight in a match, in a tag team match, against one another. And that is exactly what happened. They come out, they congratulate them for their win, and they challenge them to a match. Of course, Dean and Seth, they're gonna accept it. And here we go, we have a match. And it is one heck of a match. It's exactly how I thought it would be. Just spectacular display of teamwork from both sides. Double team moves. So smooth. I have no complaints about the match because they all work so well in the ring together. Dean and Seth kind of took the role that they did, that Sheamus and Cesaro did against them. Against Dean and Seth at SummerSlam. They were splitting the ring. They were keeping Matt Hardy away from Jeff for a lot of the match. But it gets to a point, you know, you gotta switch the momentum. And got to a point, Matt Hardy, he uses a side effect to Dean right onto the apron. To Seth, just right onto the apron. Countered Dean's tries twice and does a side effect to him as well. But in the end, Dean and Seth, they come out to the, they come out victorious, similar to the way that they came out of SummerSlam. Super kick, dirty deeds, 1, 2, 3. It looks good. It was a great match, regardless. And then after this match, this is when the announcement was made. Brock versus Braun Strowman. No mercy for the Universal Championship. Once again, oh my gosh, I am so excited to see what's going to go down. Because that match alone will make the No Mercy pay-per-view so good if they book it right. Because if they book Braun Strowman to just squish Brock Lesnar like he's nothing, that would feel like such a waste. I feel like Brock Lesnar could pull out something, anything from his book to make that match really, really good. But it's going to be what it's going to be. We won't know until we get there to No Mercy, which I will be watching. Hopefully that turns into something good, whether it be Braun and Brock having a really good match, to Braun walking out with the championship, and a feud starting. Either way, it's bound to be something good. Regardless. And after all of that debacle between Seth Rollins Dean Ambrose and the Hardys. Sasha Banks, she comes out. Same thing, talks about her championship win over Alexa Bliss, which, by the way, reemphasize, I feel like that was a really iffy match because of the way that Sasha won. Not because Alexa lost the title, but just the way that Sasha won was weird for me. It left me like, wait, what? Like, I don't know. Either way, talks about her championship win against Alexa. And, of course, Bliss, Alexa Bliss, comes out, interrupts, and basically, like, her heel character does. She's such a good heel character. I love her heel character so much. Tells Banks that she's a horrible champion because she's not once actually defended her championship. She's gotten it and then lost it the next match that she's had to defend it. And look, yeah, she's right. Like, hey, it is what it is. And then they just start talking trash to one another, et cetera, et cetera. Alexa, her good heel character, Sasha, firing back. And Sasha finally says, well, you know what? Screw this. You want your rematch? You got it. Right here. Right now. Let's go. And Alexa's like, I would do it, but no thanks. I'm going to wait until next week. Hey, smart decision. Gives her time to recover. Maybe she will get the title back. I don't know. I kind of secretly hope that she doesn't, even though she's a good heel character. I'm kind of torn between that. They both are good champions. Let me rephrase. Alexa's a really good champion. A heel champion. Sasha, people kind of want to see her champion, but she's never defended it. Either way. Then up next, Jason Jordan, Finn Balor match. It's like, it's worth it. It's worth seeing. Like, you know, see just how well Jason Jordan can hold up against Finn Balor. They go at one another, and they exchange blows with one another. Then Jason Jordan, he wants to show some sportsmanship. He goes to reach out his hand for a handshake. Finn Balor, surprisingly, like, it kind of threw me off guard a little bit, pushes his hand away and just starts, like, delivering more blows to him. Like, whoa. Oh my gosh. That was a heel move from Finn Balor? And when he's not the Demon King? Wait a minute. Hold up. That threw me off guard. But hey, like I've said, it is what it is, my friend. Either way, the match is still going on. Jason Jordan, he's putting up a really good fight against Finn Balor. He's not just letting him squash him. And both superstars, it feels like a heavy cruiserweight match for that matter. They both are flying around and doing stuff. Even then, Finn wins, standard finisher, coup de grace, 1-2-3, and it's done. Still a good match, regardless. It makes both of them look good. Thank you for booking that. I'd love to see it again. But that's me. And here we reach the end, the main event of Raw. John Cena and Roman Reigns versus The Miz and Joe. I mean, what can I say about this match? It's good. You know, it's not like it was sloppy or a bunch of botches, but it's just kind of, it just doesn't feel right to me after still being in my emotions wanting to see John Cena beat the crap out of Roman. But regardless, it's still a good and solid match. Once again, there was a beach ball in the crowd, and this time, excuse me. This time, wasn't taken away by a superstar. Security, camera pans to the beach ball, and you see a guy from security take it away, and there's booze. Can you just let the people keep the beach ball, please? I bet you they'll throw it away, they'll take it with them, they won't do anything with it. But I get it, you know, you don't want it getting into the ring and interrupting match. But I mean, that could make for some good little heel character extras if a beach ball were to enter the ring. That's just me. Whatever. Like I said, matches back and forth for the most part. Roman Reigns, though, in the match, he was showing some surprising power from Miz. Like, Miz was cradled up in like a ball, and Roman Reigns just picks him up from the mat and slams him. And it started getting to the point everybody was in the ring at once. Felt like a tornado tag there for a minute. It was just chaos, you know, like you would expect a main event like with those people to be. And Samoa Joe, Kokita Clutch on Cena, and Reigns, he goes to Superman punch Samoa Joe, but he hits Cena instead. Please, Cena, beat the crap out of Roman. Joe pushes out Roman Reigns, dives to him. Cena, after getting hit with the Superman punch, The Miz and Cena were the legal people at this time. Tries to use a skull crushing finale, and Super Duper Cena counters with the AA and wins. Woo, Super Cena. I mean, kind of expected that to happen because, like even John Cena said himself, Super Cena. I mean, what do you expect from any match with John Cena in it? Cena was getting the crap beat out of him for most of the match. Wins in three moves. That's it. There you go. What a match, right? I mean, when you see this stuff happen multiple times, like, it's almost annoying, but I get it, you know. Just for the love of God, like the multiple things that have happened in the past 2 weeks with Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns, mocking the crowd for that matter at SummerSlam, and then booked to miss the Superman punch on Samoa Joe and hits John Cena after Cena calls him out. Like, gosh, can you please just make him a heel? Like, full-fledged heel, like, for certain, make him, hey, there's no doubt about it, he is a heel. Then I will be happy. I will be okay with Reigns at that point because I'm supposed to boo him, and I will be cool with it. But not while he's a face, technically. Stop it. So, all in all, the August 21st episode of Monday Night Raw, my overall thought about it was well done. It's like, a Raw after a pay-per-view should be. Everybody comes out, talk about their championships, good matches, solid matches. It's exactly what I expect from Raw, and I expect really good stuff from Raw, and that's exactly what they come out and deliver. And I never am completely disappointed with any episode of Raw. They always book Raw really well, and a good bit of the time I'm left guessing like what's gonna happen next if I haven't already seen it. And just every time, especially the Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins match, it was always that was all really well thought out and well planned. I love it. And of course, a big surprise with the Enzo versus Big Cass match. Even though Enzo didn't technically win, he won because Big Cass couldn't fight. I like it. It's good to see Enzo finally win a match. Big whoop with the surprise announcement of John Cena. Kind of makes me sad. It was interesting to see the Jason Jordan versus Finn Balor match. I definitely did not expect that. But it was well done. It made Jason Jordan and Finn Balor, neither one squished the other. So it made them both look like very, very good. And I like those matches. But yeah, overall thoughts. It was a good, solid Raw. And I'm always looking forward to seeing Raw. Not so much the same all the time for SmackDown, but Raw is definitely something I look forward to every week. Call in, let me know what your thoughts are. Don't be afraid. Give your opinions on what you thought about Raw. Maybe, if you don't like it, fine, whatever. If you do, make sure you favorite, subscribe, do what you want. I'm here every single week. I'm going to be doing at least two episodes a week, Raw and SmackDown, and then three if there's a pay-per-view, which pay-per-views are always fun. Yeah, just always keep up and be sure to favorite, call in, give me your opinions, tell me you suck, I don't care. Some sort of feedback is always greatly appreciated. Yeah, just I'd love to hear what you guys think about whether it's me, the show, two episodes a week. Here I am, and I'm saying peace. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a glorious day.